Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to the weekly Take Action Team podcast, where each week, not only do we want to take, give you the tools to move your business forward, but we also want to, we want to inspire you to actually do so. And the individual that I have the absolute privilege of welcoming to the call today is a gentleman that understands network marketing. He's been around the industry for over 30 years. He has a passion for the industry, and in fact, he's literally trained hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people to move their businesses forwards, to move their lives forwards. He's trained with some of the best trainers around the globe. He's friends with people like Jack Canfield, Mark Victor Hansen, Dr. John Gray, just to name a few. He's part of the Transformational Leadership Council, so he works with the best of the best. And today, he's going to spend some time working with us. So it is my absolute privilege to welcome to the line today none other than Mr. David T.S. Wood. How are you doing, David?
Hey, Warren. How are you, buddy?
And, I'm doing fantastic.
Thanks for everything you do, man. You know what? I look at our culture. I look at who we are as a company, and you know, it comes down to our leadership. It comes down to who we are, what we stand for. You know, how we show up, and you and Arlene, and your kids. I mean, just a great representation of one of our great values, which is family, right? So, thanks for everything you do.
Well, thank you for everything that you do. I know you're on the road yourself. You've left your boys at home, and you're off to Atlanta again to work with a group of people and help them move forwards with their personal lives and also their business. You're just constantly trying to make a difference. And I think one of the other things, David, that really stands out for me, it doesn't matter where you are, and I've traveled the world with you. I mean, we've been in Africa, we've been all over the place. And when you interact with people, that interaction just seems to be so rich. It doesn't matter if it's when we were in Tanzania and the girl that grabbed her big duffel bags and she hauled them up to the room. We're going, no, we have to. And just the watching you interact with people, you've truly developed a gift. And what resonates, I think, is you actually, people feel like you care. And I think it's really because you do care. It doesn't matter if you're the Prime Minister of Canada or someone working at a corner store. You seem to take interest in people. Can you just touch on that a little bit? Because I know our call today is really going over the keys to success in network marketing, but there's a reason why you're so good at it. And I want to delve just a little bit into that, if you don't mind.
Yeah, well, thank you. And yeah, you're right. I'm down in Atlanta doing the University in Action. And, it's one of my favorite programs. But, you know, I think that connecting is something that is fundamental to success. It doesn't matter what you're doing. So connecting really is fundamental. And I think what happens is, as children, we learn how to disconnect. And a lot of it's the fear that's given to us from our parents or our grandparents or the media, depending on which country you live. I think fear is, you know, it can be greater in different countries. America has a high level of fear, less so than Canada. And it's just the way the media stands and you know, how people interact. But, I mean, you know, don't talk to strangers. It's something we're told right from the get-go as a little kid. You know, there's a lot of fear around children interacting with people they don't know. And this is only in this culture where in the old days, you know, we used to say things like it takes a village to raise a child. There are some cultures, but that is still very, very true, where it does take a village to raise a child. You know, and like in Bali, you know, the whole village is a sort of a place where a child can roam freely and be raised by the village, right? So when we look at connecting, I think why, and I think great network marketers, if you're listening right now, I want to make this relevant for you. I think what's beautiful is if you can have an interaction with someone, and after you've spoken to them for 4 or 5 minutes, they say something like, "I feel like I've known you my whole life," or "Oh, there's this kind of desire that they have to want to stay connected to you." They ask for your information just because there's a different level of connection. And I think there's a number of reasons why this occurs. One is where you come from inside. I always think something really positive about everyone I meet. So as I'm walking up to someone strange that I'm about to talk to, I start to have an internal dialogue. And this may sound really, really weird, but practice it. And I've lived in 63 countries now, lived, traveled, or worked in 63 countries. So it doesn't matter about language barrier, because I was just recently in Lithuania, and I know about 30 words of Lithuanian. I can apologize for not speaking their language. But even if you speak to someone who doesn't speak your language, it's easier to see sometimes how connecting is not just about words. And we know that 7% of the effectiveness of connection comes from the words themselves. 7%. It's so little, the actual word part. So what's the intentionality? So I think as a network marketer, the intentionality is really important. So I always set an intention that I see something positive, something I like already. So I'm already thinking good thoughts. Then I lead with fascination. I lead with interest. I lead with curiosity. So I'm interested. I'm fascinated. I'm curious. And they're going to pick up on that. And I make sure that they feel, now I don't even think about it. You see it. I mean, you notice it wherever I go, whether I'm speaking to someone in my own language or not. And again, you know, it's that idea that this person is important. And I come from that well inside of me. And I really am curious about them. I'm curious about their life. I'm curious about what's going on. And they feel that, feel this genuine interest. So the sort of the door opens. And then a real key to connection is common ground. What do you have in common? What are the things that you have in common? Because as soon as two people find something they have in common, it could be their love of dogs. It could be their love of the outdoors. It could be they may be pilots. It could be whatever it is. And this is why leading an extraordinary life, and a lot of my students, when they start working with me, they start to see the world differently. They start to say yes to more things, because the more things you love, the more things you're going to have in common with more people, a more variety of people. So, I mean, listen, I've knitted. I love cooking. I love jumping out of airplanes. I like mountain biking, road bike. I mean, I could give you a list. But everything, I mean, Warren, you know this. I mean, you phoned me just the other day, and you said, hey, Dave, do you want to go to the base camp of Everest? What was my answer? I didn't ask you any questions. I said, yes, let's just do it, right? Because that's the kind of person that's going to have a lot in common with a lot of people, where you're always open to learning new things. So it's intention, it's that curiosity, and it's that common ground. You put those three things together, and you're going to have a powerful ability to connect with all people, regardless of language.
Wow. Wow. And guys, I'll tell you, I've seen David do it firsthand around the globe, and it's really beautiful. And it's not that he's trying to get something from them. It's just, maybe he is. What he's trying to get is that connection. He's trying to find out about them. I mean, and you should see how people's faces light up when someone that doesn't expect you to take notice of them, that you're above them, and they sort of perceive that. And David just gets down to their level and really cares about who they are.
It's interesting beautiful. You said that, because we can look at it both ways. Like famous people, I have a lot of famous friends, right? But the reason why I'm good friends with them is because I don't treat them like famous people. I treat them like I treat everyone else. And like the janitor of a bathroom, I treat him the same way I treat my famous friends. That is a real key distinction, because I remember when Jack Canfield and I became friends, I walked into his house. And I'd been invited for dinner, right? And okay, that's a story in itself. But I set the intention to become friends with him. I wandered in. I started cooking with his wife, Inga. I took over the kitchen. I started pouring him wine. You know, I just treated the house like it was my own house. And I treated him like I would treat anybody else on the planet. And it was like a relief. I could feel that he just felt so comfortable and easy. Instead of him having to wear his Jack Canfield hat, he just wore his I'm just a guy hat, and I'm just a husband hat, and I'm just a friend hat. And we had a blast. So I think it's not just about treating people who are low income a certain way. I think it's treating everyone a certain way. So if you meet someone famous, just treat them like everyone else, and they'll love it.
Mm. And I think that's one of the things that when you mentioned a university in action, that you really have people start to consider and think about and just really internalize what we just covered. And you do it so eloquently at the university in action.
Well,
now,
you know what they do, though, Warren? They practice. And there's nothing like it. When you watch people come in who don't think they're good connectors, or people who are quite good connectors but are not – you know, they're not master connectors. And then you put them through, and they start to practice with strangers. And within like for the first hour, it's amazing to watch people transition from this kind of ability to say, oh, I'm really good at this. Because we all are. When we were little kids, we were master connectors. We'd run up to people buck naked in the park in the rain and ask them to be our friends. We'd just be so open and so curious, and we'd be like full of wonder, and then we'd ask what we want. I want to be friends with you. And I've done that, by the way. I've gone up to people and I said, hey, we're going to be friends. I can just tell. And I've told people my intention is to be friends with them, and we became friends.
Yeah. It's powerful. I mean, power of intent is so huge. Now, there's another big part of the industry, David. It's attracting the right kind of people. Because it seems like there's certain individuals in the industry that just seem to attract these, whether they're prior network marketers or they're attracting individuals that just, you know, they just, for whatever reason, capture the vision quicker than others and start to run, and they help explode people's businesses. And what's your thoughts around attracting the right kind of people? Like, can you quantify what, like, are they athletes? Are they, what would you say about that?
Well, I think that what's important is we're going to attract who we are. So what's important to see is look into your teams right now. Look at the type of people you're currently attracting. Quite a lot of new network marketers will attract kind of half-assed, non-believing, dabbling, kind of, you know, can often be quite negative people who are not motivated. They're not inspired. They're just kind of like, you know, and then you look at yourself and you have to ask the question, who am I being? How do I show up? And who am I attracting? Because when we take responsibility for the people we attract, right, then we don't beat ourselves up on it. It's just a notice. You say, oh, my God, I got a lot of people who don't want to do anything in my business. What am I showing up like? Well, what you'll often find is someone who's kind of half in themselves. They've got one foot in the business. They don't really believe in it yet. They you know, they're not lit up. They're not really passionate. They're more afraid, because a lot of people are afraid to show up. You know, that's, again, what I do at the University in Action, is give people permission to start showing up as themselves. We always know that people wear masks. Every time I survey every single room, the one mask that always surprises me, Warren, is how many people say they wear masks in front of their parents. In other words, they don't show up fully authentically like they do with their best friend in front of their parents. They still wear a mask to get the approval of their parents. So when we know that's all true, and then we say to ourselves, well, how do I attract the right kind of people? Well, I have to become the right kind of person, right? I have to really know where my belief is at. I have to look at my passion. I have to look at how positive I am. And these things can change. Every single person you and I have worked with over the years, we've watched those people who quite often aren't always very, very positive. They're not always very, very motivated. They're not always, you know, very, I mean, because it doesn't matter about your background. It doesn't matter about your education. It doesn't matter about your ethnicity or your sexual preference. None of those things count. What counts is how you show up in the moment. Because if you want to attract great, positive, inspired people, and this is the homework I'd give everyone listening, write a list of everything you want in a person. So coachable, you know, passionate, fun, you know, a go-getter, goal-driven. Write down 10 qualities you look for in someone, and then give yourself a checklist. How do I fare in all of these areas? And you're going to find 3 or 4 of the areas what you can move, and you say, you know what, I'm probably a 3 out of 10 in this one. Maybe I'm going to start working on becoming a 10 out of 10 in this particular quality that I'm looking for. Then what I would do is I would laminate that card, and I'd put it where you clean your teeth on the mirror, or I'd carry it in my pocket, and I would read it every single day, and I would put at the top, why do I attract positive, inspired, you know, goal-getting, fun, you know, coachable, you know, team-oriented people, whatever those 10 things are, and why do I easily attract that? And then again, if we do our homework and we say, okay, which one of these am I a little light on, and then I just top those up, suddenly you're going to become that person. And when you're that person, you're going to attract that person.
Ooh, and there's power in saying what you believe. Like when you speak, when you have a mantra, there's such power in it, David. It's so funny. A network marketer buddy of mine that's been in it much longer than me, and he knew I was training for marathon, so I'm out running, and he goes, when you're running, you should be saying, I'm so grateful I cycle 1,000 times a week with these, and I did it. And I now when I run, that clicks on. That tape just runs in my head. It's so powerful. I have another mantra I say, but the one thing I will say with that is, and I give Bill a very hard time about this, is I missed out the word pay. I mean, my primary business center's maxed out 10 times over. and yet you only get paid on 250 cycles. So yes, I'm cycling over 1,000 times, but I'm not getting paid on it. Now when I run, David, I'm so grateful I get paid on 1,000 cycles a week with these. I'm so grateful. And it's just, you got to watch what you put in your head, because when you use mantras and you leverage the power of mantras, it's so important that you're putting the right stuff in.
Well,
so.
And the thing is, a lot of people right now, if you look at your results in your life right now, in your bank account, in your bedroom, in your boardroom, which is your work, right? If you look at all areas of your life, there's a mantra you're playing to get that result. You may not know you have a mantra, but it may be a negative stream that you have in your head. Right, there's this negative little, because we build these highways in the brain. But you may have a mantra that you're not even aware of that you're saying to yourself over and over again, and you're getting the result. All right, so when we change it and we have intentionality about it, and I love the idea that when you're running, you're doing a mantra. You know, the idea that mantra, and then you understand the distinction of the mantra, that you're really clear on getting paid on 1,000 cycles a week, right? But the idea that you're like that. That's a real great way to train our brain, because otherwise, if we leave our brain to its own devices, it's going to start thinking all kinds of nonsense. And guess what?
Sometimes it's not so good where it takes you to. That's for sure. Now,
exactly.
Part of mantras, David, that all ties into like the power of belief. And again, in the University of Action, you challenge people on where their belief level is in five different areas. Can we touch on that? I think that's so huge. That's also a huge key to being successful in this industry.
Well, this could be easily the big one. The reason I wrote the program, The University in Action, to be quite honest with you, was because I started training. Susan Fly and I were doing some programs over in Ontario, and we were getting people to go on the phones, and we were getting people to sort of recruit right there live at the event, right? We'd have these two recruiting teams. We'd have a bell. People would ring if they recruited someone. And I was really starting to watch people, and I realized that there was something that was missing. It was that these people, we were asking them to get into action, and we'd never really sort of delved into where their belief system was at. And I look at six critical areas, not five. So I look at the company, I look at the compensation plan, I look at the products, I look at the industry of network marketing, belief in self, and then belief in self being a network marketer, belief in self doing network marketing. Because you could have all the other four or five, but you may not have that sixth one, you becoming a network marketer, you becoming a professional network marketer. And so once I started to realize this was a real issue, I started to put a spotlight on it. And I work on this for about a day and a half on belief systems, because people don't realize the importance of it. But let's give you an example. I survey people and I ask them, you know, first of all, we define what unshakable belief is. And unshakable belief is something where if you're in front of your father-in-law or your lawyer or your doctor or anyone you respect or anyone you sort of look up to or anyone that intimidates you even, and they look at you and they say, is that one of those pyramid schemes that you don't feel like you want to run for the hills and cry or you want to, you know, quit, right? The unshakable belief means that you are proud to be a network marketer. You're proud to be an isogenics, let's say, right? So then what happens is, I ask people, okay, if unshakable is a 10, then, you know, zero is no belief at all. Where are you at currently in your belief in network marketing? This one always staggers me because, I mean, like, we'll have 500, 600 people here in Atlanta, right? And I guarantee that most of the room will not be a 10 out of 10. The people that are a 10 out of 10 are the people that are making money, the people that have replaced an income, the people that are making more in a month than they used to in a year. That's whose belief is unshakable. So then I thought, well, what happens? How do we move the needle? And what I found actually, Warren, because I've trained, you know, like you talk about hundreds of thousands of people, but with this particular belief exercise, what I found was a lot of people just didn't know. They didn't believe. They didn't know. So what was happening subconsciously, they were going up to people and they were introducing them to isogenics, but subconsciously they were saying, guess what? I don't believe in this, but I think you should join this. And that would be a bit like proposing to a girl and saying, hey, listen, I'm 70% sure you're the woman of my dreams, and I want to spend the rest of my life with you. It sounds ridiculous, right? So then once I put the spotlight on and I give people a 2.5-day immersion, what I find is people start to consciously move their needle to a 10. And once they consciously move to a 10, right, then they have unshakable belief.
Well, they show up different. They absolutely show up different when they are connecting with people.
Of course, because, you know, you can talk absolute gigglygop. I mean, look at your early days. You believed. You didn't have all the skills. But with certainty, I always say certainty is sexy, right? Now, belief in self is something, what they say, you know, Isagenix is a compensation plan, a personal development program with a compensation plan attached. And
exactly.
I truly believe that belief in self is a moving target. You can have good days and bad days and growing days, but I do find people like you, and you talked about, you know, our time in Africa, watching you and Arlene climb Kilimanjaro as part of my team, right? It was amazing to see how positive you were compared with most of the people around you. We had a positive group, but you were incredibly positive, right? Because you've done a lot of work on your mind. You've invested a lot of time and money in personal development. So belief in self is an investment, but you can still wake up some days, and if you've been up too late, maybe you had too many drinks, or maybe, you know, your favorite dog just passed away, or something happens in your life, you can still show up and not be a 10 out of 10. So it's okay for that one to move. But belief in self, doing that with marketing, that's a certainty piece. That's where you have a sort of a 10-year commitment, understanding that this is a real profession, understanding that belief in self doing this is like, it's like, you know, your children right now at university deciding on a career path or deciding on what they want to do. It's a certainty thing. And so I do believe the six areas of belief are critical, and often it's just because no one puts the spotlight on there. And if you look at someone who's not in action, what I'll do is I'll sit down and say, can I ask you a question? Let's just go through these different areas of belief and tell me where you're at. 10 being unshakable, 0 being, you know, that you don't believe at all. And quite often, 2 or 3 of the 6 areas of belief are less than a 10, and that's what's holding them back.
So true. So very true. And I guess what we have to remember is be gentle with yourself. We're all on a journey. I mean, David, we won't get into it now, but David can share a story with you about me connecting with a friend of his, Michelle, and after 20 minutes of talking to her, David goes, Ward, so tell me some things about Michelle. And I was so in my head about trying to get Michelle into Isagenix and just... I didn't take in anything that she was saying, and I was always trying to think, okay, what's my next question going to be? And it was embarrassing, but it was a huge wake up for me. It's probably one of the biggest gifts David's ever gave me, is that awareness. Now when I connect with people, I'm focusing in all on them. I'm listening to what they say, and I know the next question will just magically appear when they're done speaking. Like, I'll just know what to ask next to move the conversation along. And again, it's developed over time, guys, because as you've all heard it, every master was once a disaster, absolutely including me. I mean, it's a skill you develop. And just know, as David said, look at this industry as a 10-year journey. Because if you look at this industry as a 10-year journey, it allows you to manage your expectations, because let me tell you, David, talk a little about expectations in this industry, because most people think they're going to get in the elevator, hit penthouse, and it's done. It doesn't really work that way, does it?
You know, this is a real killer. You know, I mean, the first year anniversary is often a time when people quit, and what happens is people compare their start to someone else's middle, right? And they simply don't know the numbers. But I always start, when we're managing expectations, we have to start with what your dreams and goals are. So if you close your eyes for a second and really ask yourself, what are you really looking for? And I'm going to guess it's one of two areas or both: time freedom, financial freedom, or both. End of the day, you may even want to help people, but you still want the freedom, the money to be able to help people, or you want the time to be able to help people. So you may say, no, actually, what I want to do is help people. Yeah, okay. Do you want to help people? Do you want to help a lot of people? Yeah. Okay, so you want time to help people, and you want the money to help people. Is that right? Yeah. So it still comes down to time and money for most people. So if that's the case for you, then you would ask yourself, well, how much time and money do I want? Well, I want a lot of time. I want a lot of money. Great. So what's it going to take for me to get a lot of time and a lot of money? Well, that's going to be then, what's the realistic expectation? And let's ask Warren a couple of questions, and you're going to see by Warren's answers what it takes to create a lot of time and a lot of money. So, Warren, how many conversations have you had? Well, how many years have you been in Isagenix right now?
I've been in Isagenix now, coming up this May, 13 years.
So 13 years. How many conversations do you think you've had?
Thousands, David. Literally thousands.
I know, but probably 5,000 or 6,000, maybe more, right?
You got it.
All right. From those 5,000 or 6,000 conversations, how many personally enrolled do you have?
I probably have enrolled, I'm guessing, around 360 people. thereabouts?
Right. So which is, again, you can see when Warren first started out, he had a lot of conversations without enrolling. Normally it's about 10%. So if you have 5,000 conversations, you normally would have enrolled about 500 people. But again, Warren had to learn how to be, had to listen to people. He just told you that story. So it's about 10%. But you see that. So from the thousands of conversations, 360 said yes. From the 360 of your personally enrolled, how many have become primary builders?
Well, I've managed to create 9 executives.
Right. So that's a great example. So look at that. 9. From the 9, how many are still really active and really building like you are? Primary builders. So you may have 9 executives.
Out of the 9, I would think it's 1, 2, 4?
Perfect.
5.
This is
5.
Everyone listen right now. So we started with thousands of conversations. We end up with 360 yeses. From the 360 yeses, we have 5 primary builders. Now, obviously, there's lots of other people in his team that are primary builders, not his personally enrolled. What was your first month's income, Warren? Do you remember? Your first check ever?
Oh, first check ever was $10, David.
$10. And what's been your highest month income to date? The most you've ever made in 1 month as a network marketer?
I believe they shared that down in Australia, and I was actually shocked. I think $126,000.
So $126,000, right? So, guys, if you wanted to have the time freedom and the financial freedom that Warren does, the secret was just there. There's the math. Every single leader is the same. There's not a leader that I don't interview or ask the numbers of. And, you know, I mean, I know this is going to be played. You have a big team in Australia. And so if we were to – let me just bring this up for you. I was recently speaking to Jono and Jen Patch, who are now the number 2 income earners in Australia, right? These are their numbers. So they joined in 2012. They had 3,000 conversations, which means they went fast. From 3,000 conversations, they have 300 personally enrolled. 5 became primary leaders. In fact, 5 became platinum. So they're all sort of in the reentry. They have 3 3-stars. 5 2-stars, 8 1-star, 10 people earning between $100 and $300 a week. And their first month's income was $780 US. And their highest month today is $191,542. So you can see the similarities. That was with bonuses as well. That's the similarities. There's always that kind of 10% rule. So managing expectations means that some of you, you want the dream, you have the dream, but you think if you speak to your mother, your brother Henry, and your 3 friends down at the club, that suddenly you're going to be wealthy. First of all, family are the hardest people to talk to, and they can often be the one that shoot us down in flames. They don't often go to work with us right away. It takes a while for them to get on board. So even that philosophy can be out of whack. But then if you really understand it, this is why I like the 10-year mindset, because I think within 3 to 5 years, every single person, when they learn the skills of connecting, when they learn how to use these tools, which is another thing I teach at the University in Action, how to leverage the tools. So yeah, I always say the 3 most important words for a new network marketer to understand is I don't know. You don't have to know everything. That's why we have a team. That's why we have tools. So I'm going to say to you then, expectations then is really about understanding the numbers, and then you can get excited. Because I actually think this, Warren, I actually don't think we should talk in time. I shouldn't say to Jono, how long have you been in Isagenics? And he shouldn't answer me, you know, like 4 years. And you shouldn't answer me 13 years. Wouldn't it be great if we spoke another way? If I said to you, how long have you been in Isagenics, Warren? And you said, I've been in 6,000 conversations. And if he answered, he said, I've been in 3,000 conversations. Because then we're going to start to realize it's not about the length of time. Because you can see Jono has had a higher month than you, right?
Yeah.
And he's in your downline. Because this is really amazing. But he went really, really fast and had 3,000 conversations really, really quickly. Developed leadership really quickly, right? But that's a byproduct a little bit of the environment we have now. Because those of you joining today, listening to this call, when Warren joined 13 years ago, this was a different company. The compensation plan is better. The products are better. The tools are better. These pioneers like Warren, man, they were in the dark ages.
Well, you think about it. Back when I joined, if I did you share, they share, I would have made a whopping $20. Now people do you share, they share, and they make around 820. Like, guys, it has absolutely gotten better in Isagenix. There's no question. And the trainings. There were no universities. There were no universities in action. I mean, there was no David Wood part of Isagenix back then. I mean, the training that we have the access to in this Isagenix is second to none. You just have to plug in and show up at the events. I mean, it's all right if you're brand new and you end up going to three or four universities in action, you follow Sir David around North America, wherever he is, and you take it in because it's practice. Again, it's managing expectations. You're not going to be from day one a 10 out of 10 unless, hey, you're someone like Jimmy Smith. And when Jimmy Smith came in, he already had, what, 20 years experience in the industry, had already made millions in the industry. So he was already there. But you can't compare day one for Jimmy Smith joining Isagenix or Lynn Hagedorn's day one to your day one, because their day one, they've already developed themselves. Lynn had 8 years prior experience before she joined Isagenix. You gotta compare apples to apples.
Well, that's so true. And Jimmy's a great story, right? Because he took 3 to 4 years to get to $5,000 a month, right? And not in his first company. He sort of, you know, he failed a couple of times, right? A few times.
Of course.
But he got 4 years to get to $5,000 a month. He left that company because he didn't really find a home. It took him three and a half to 4 years to get to $5,000 a week. And he was there, and that company changed the compensation plan on him, so he left because of integrity reasons. He joins Isagenix, and he takes 3 to 4 years to get to $5,000 a day. Because he'd become a professional network marketer. He was just looking for the right home, the right compensation plan, and the right culture.
Now, David, you just said becoming a professional network marketer. Let's have a little bit of a conversation around that, because I know some of us think we're professional network marketers, and I have work to do yet on myself because I'm not there yet. I mean, I think it's really a journey. You want to constantly be learning. I mean, industry, like when social media from 10 years ago to now, social media plays such an important role on this industry. It's important to view this as an ongoing journey. You haven't arrived. Even if you're making big money, you don't want to be thinking, oh, I've arrived, because there is this piece to becoming a professional networker.
Yeah, you know, and professional is a mindset as well, right? Because, you know, a lot of people would consider themselves to be professionals at what they're doing if they've been around a profession for 5 to 10 years. So if I spoke to someone in the insurance business, they'd probably say, oh, yeah, I'm a professional insurance agent, or I'm a professional realtor, or, you know, you could be anything. I'm a professional in retail. I have a friend who owns a retail clothing store, and he's definitely a professional. But he spent his lifetime developing the ability to buy clothing, to stage clothing, and to sell clothing, to make people feel special. So, you know, I think that we have to understand what it means to be a professional. It doesn't mean that you're a lawyer, because a lot of people say, well, that's a professional because he's a lawyer or an accountant or something like that. Doctor's a professional. Everyone, I mean, garbage collectors, if that's what they do and they're the best at it, you could be a professional garbage collector, right? I mean, the idea is that you know everything. You know the nuances. You know the distinction. You know the shortcuts. You know how to be effective. You know how not to hurt your back. You know how to drive the truck. I mean, all these things is about really the understanding. And every profession has its own unique qualifications to become a professional, but they all have about the same amount of hours. And this was Malcolm Gladwell talked about this in Outliers. It takes about 10,000 hours to master anything, 10,000 hours, right? And the thing that always makes me kind of giggle a little bit is network marketing. I mean, you talked about your income, 120. We talked about Jono, 184, whatever it was, in a month, for God's sake, right? And yet we have a profession where anyone of any background, any ethnicity, any sexual orientation, any confidence level, any weight, any body type, any color of skin, whatever it is, can succeed, and there's no ceiling to their income. In other words, there is absolutely no way that your income can go down if you don't want it to. You can keep increasing your income with Isagenix because we have a thing called a re-entry, which means that you can have as many re-entries as you want. There's no cap to the amount of re-entries that you can have, right? So, but then what does it mean then? Well, in the beginning, it's a choice. It's a little bit like my son is 17. He graduates in June, and he wants to become a professional network marketer. So he's going to spend a year traveling with me, coming to every single event I go to. I'm going to send him to spend time with different leaders, including I'm going to ask Warren to take him over for a couple of weeks. I want him to learn from the leadership. I want him to spend time with Eric Coover. I want to groom him over the next 12 months to really to accelerate the amount of hours he puts in this year. So he doesn't have to wait 10 years to become a professional. He can get all this information in this year. I'm going to help. So we've employed him. If this is crazy, think about it. Our company's employed him. He will work, but my goal is to help him become a professional network marketer as fast as I can by what? By exposure, by immersion, by events, but by mindset and choice. Now, does he want to be a network marketer for the rest of his life? No, his passion is the arts, guitar, singing, acting, which is a profession that's hard to make money at. So now he's got this idea of creating a residual income by becoming a professional network marketer so he can live a life fulfilling his passions and contribution. That's a 17-year-old mindset. But again, it's how I think about it is I want him to be a professional. He's going to dabble in network marketing. That's not going to serve him. But if he wants to become a professional network marketer, then he can become a professional singer. Then he can become a professional actor, all he wants. But this year is about learning those skill sets and having as many of those 10,000 hours crammed into 12 months and have a lot of fun doing it, right?
And the other thing is developing those skill sets, like how to connect with people. When you want to accelerate your acting career, it's also how you show up. And the skills that you learn here will impact you regardless of what's your bliss or what's your passion. You can take these skills and it'll impact the other areas of your life. I mean, it's absolutely a beautiful thing.
Well, you know, and the beauty of when we talk about skills, right? I mean, the truth is what we do, if we're doing anything else, like, you know, my son has a singing coach, he has a guitar coach, and he has an acting coach. He has three coaches. But most network marketers out here listening to this call don't have a network marketing coach. They're not investing money on coaching, right? It's just not something they're doing, right? So the idea that there's someone just trying to clean my room there. I'm just going to let them. But the idea that we would look at it that way, that we would look at skills as something we practice. You know, so a doctor doesn't, or a chiropractor isn't given a body day one. It's 4 years. They're given a cadaver to work on to understand the spine. They work on a cadaver for years. My buddy's my business partner is a chiropractor. I've been to his school and looked at how they learn about chiropractic, right? And yeah. So, you know, but this is a profession where people don't practice. And so some of you listening, that's why I think the University in Action, for me, is such a key program, Warren, is because it pushes us into the practice realm. And once people start practicing, they get better. And when they get better, they get confident. When they get confident, they start to move the needle from, I don't think I can do this, to I can do this. But it's the only profession I know that has zero limitations on income. But people don't come into it as with a professional mindset to say, I'm going to get better. I'm going to practice my skills until I'm really, really good at them. That doesn't happen here as much.
So very true. Now, David, you said something about the skills and practicing them, because I think it really boils down to so many of us have a fear of taking action. It's sort of like they're going to the courses, they're doing all the different things, but there's this fear inside of them of taking action. And if they can break through that, magic starts to occur. It really does.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, we have to look at the word fear. I mean, fear stops us in everything. It stops us talking to the girl on the dance floor. You know, it stops us sometimes going and asking for that job we wanted. It stops us in all areas of our life. You know, it stops us from the experience. A lot of people, you know, I've done this. I used to work at a bungee site. And, you know, I've also done a lot of skydiving, right? But a lot of people, when they hear about it, they'll say, I would never do that. Well, that's not that they'd never do it, because once they've done it, I watched enough people come off a bungee site who said, oh my God, that was the most amazing thing I've ever done. You know, but before that fear conversation was the one that we all have it. There's this fear is there. And some of us, what we do is we move beyond the fear, but then we have to understand what fear is. And the definition of the word fear is the most critical piece of the puzzle. The definition of the word fear is the anticipation of pain. the anticipation of pain. And anticipation, is it a past word, is it a present word, or is it a future word?
Future.
So what happens is, it's in the future, it's in our imagination. So fear only exists in our imagination. We make it up, it's a story. So what we got to understand is this. You know, if you could draw a circle on a piece of paper and write in it CZ, comfort zone, and you look at what your definition of the word comfort zone is, and a lot of us would say boring, you know, status quo, you know, lethargy, you know, the same old, same old. You know, comfort zone is something that's not very exciting. But then we say, where's our dreams and goals live? Where does the time freedom live? Where does the money live? Where's the great relationships live? Where's the great body live? Is it in the comfort zone or is it outside the comfort zone?
No,
I would argue that
the comfort zone.
So everything we want exists outside our current comfort zone. So then the question comes is this. When we cross the threshold of our comfort zone, what happens internally? What happens in our brain? There's a part of the brain called the psycho-cybernetic mechanism. I just like to call it the psycho because it's an ass. Right? And what it does is it secretes chemicals into our body every time we cross the comfort zone. So imagine in network marketing, every time in the beginning you're talking to strangers, it's like crossing the comfort zone. It's like there's a lot of fear can be associated with it because it's the unknown. That's that other zone, right? The unknown zone outside the comfort zone is the unknown zone, the uncomfortable zone. There's these other zones out there. And as soon as we cross the threshold, the body secretes these chemicals into the body. So we're under chemical attack. And the body interprets those chemicals as fear, apprehension, doubt, and uncertainty. Fear, apprehension, doubt, and uncertainty. So what do most people do when they feel a little fear, a little apprehension, a little doubt, a little uncertainty? They normally stop or retreat. What successful people do is they feel that feeling. They understand that everything they want is outside the comfort zone. And when they take a step, they still have the same feelings. It's not like Warren doesn't get these same feelings when he's starting to, but his comfort zone's so big when it comes to connecting. But there's other arenas where Warren will feel it. And it may be presenting, you know, at celebration, let's say. He's been given an hour and a half. He may have the same feeling that because it's new, he may step outside that or one step over that comfort zone line, and he'll have that same feeling of fear, apprehension, doubt, and uncertainty, or maybe just a little uncertainty about it, right? But what does he do? Successful people feel that same feeling, and they keep moving forward. So the key to real success is that we all get the same feelings. I get them. What the determining factor with those people that have time freedom and have financial freedom, the determining factor is that when they felt that chemical attack, every time they did step outside their comfort zone, right, they kept going. They realize it's a normal feeling of success is those feelings. What a lot of people don't understand is they think those feelings are warning signs that if they take another step, they're going to get hurt. The anticipation of pain. So they simply stop. And the good way to look at whether you are someone living inside your comfort zone or not is to look at your results. Look at the results in your bank account. Look at the results in your bedroom. Look at the results in your business, your boardroom. Look at the results with the relationships with your children. Look at the results. And I can go through every area of your life and look at the results. And if you say, wow, this is a 10, man. That's a 10, man. That's a 10, man. Guess what? You're someone that lives consistently outside your comfort zone. That's the only way you can have all those 10. But if you're saying, oh, God, you know what? My relationship sucks. You know, we're not happy. We're always bitching at each other. That's a 4. Well, that's two people that are stuck inside their comfort zone, right? And so what we got to do is get that understanding that, and it's a gorgeous feeling. When you start to understand that feeling of fear, apprehension, doubt, and uncertainty, what I do now when I feel it, I think, here I grow again, because I know that with that feeling, if I take the step, I'm going to grow, and my comfort zone will grow. And here's the best way to think about it. Your wealth can only grow to the extent you grow yourself, and you cannot grow yourself inside a comfort zone. You have to expand beyond it.
Wow, David. Wow. I got to tell you, I'm fired up about attending that University in Action in Vancouver in, May 4th, 5th, and 6th, a couple weeks from now. I mean, we just spent 45 minutes having a conversation. Guys, could you imagine spending 3 days with this guy? I mean, he truly gets inside your head, and you leave there thinking differently. You put on some armor, and you're actually ready to go out and start doing the first phases, the first steps of becoming a professional networker. He literally arms you and sets you up for success. It's going to be a journey, as he said, But it's probably one of the most powerful courses anyone can take, David, in my opinion. It really is.
And Warren, I think that this is the other important part, right? Everyone gets to choose their speed. But what you'll do is you'll come out and you're going to think about parenting differently. You're going to think about your intimacy differently. You're going to think about your body differently. It's not just the arena of network marketing, because I think that, you know, it's about you as a human being, how you see the world, how you show up in the world. Everything will shift. It's not just your business, but when everything shifts, your business will shift. And that's what I love about this. This is a, you know, there's a layer of this whole thing about your own personal journey. But, you know, you get to choose your own speed. And we're going to love you whether you go slow or fast. Fast is a choice, but slow is a choice, right? But now if you have the skills and then you have realistic expectations and you have your belief house in order, then you can really choose speed as opposed to speed choosing you, right? It's a difference. And by the way, one other thing, we're also in Sydney coming up as well. So those of you listening in Sydney, I know there's a few seats left in Sydney as well. So I'm flying right from Vancouver to Sydney. So that'll be awesome.
Well, David, I just want to thank you so much for the time. There was so much. I got pages of notes. So that being said, any of you that want to get a copy of this podcast, get it out to your team members. There's three ways to do it. One, you can go to takeactionteam.com. If you subscribe to that email list, Katie will send this recording to you every week. It's fantastic. Two, you can go to Take Action Team on Facebook, and the recordings get posted there. So you can just follow that Facebook group. Or three, download Podomatic. And if you follow the Take Action Team every week when Katie posts it, you end up getting it on your smart device. So you can be going out for a run and you can be listening to this recording again. There's recordings of Michael Klaus, Herb Cepeda, Jimmy Smith. I mean, there's Dr. Paul Anderson. There's some amazing recordings there. So definitely download Podomatic so you get it immediately on your device. But David, thank you so much for your time. I can't wait to see you in Vancouver. We're going to have a ton of fun. And the best part is we're going to shift. We're going to move a bunch of lives, and that's the part. I know we're going to make a difference, and that's what jazzes me up.
Hey, listen, Warren, I know that your son in this month is turning 19, and I just want to wish him a huge happy birthday, and I just want to send love to Arlene and all your kids, all three of them, so, and you. Thanks so much for everything you do.
Well, thank you, David. Okay, everyone, have a spectacular week, and can't wait to chat with you again next week. Take care, everyone.